I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Are you alright?
I think there's something in my ear. It's just a hair. It's okay now. Sorry, that was a lot.
It was a lot.
Sorry.
We've had a rough night.
It's been really tough.
I had gone to the store,
mm-hmm.
Thinking that Haley was gonna be like 5 minutes.
Listen, she
late.
Told me to be here at 6, and normally when she tells me a time, I'm about 30 minutes late. Because I don't anticipate the traffic to get here, but we're having to record on a different day than normal because of like freaking tornadoes that whipped through my end of the state. None confirmed, but that's definitely what it was. Roofs were flying.
Cows
were out. It was bad. It's bad times. Today there wasn't nearly as much traffic, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
I know. I thought, I got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the grocery store, did some things. So we were at the grocery store, and I was, you know, fighting with my son to try and get in the car. And Haley was like, I'm here. I'm at your house. And I had gotten a notification that, you know, Randy had let someone in, you know, through the guard check. Like, oh, hey, someone's coming in. And I didn't even pay attention, really. And then Haley's like, I'm here. I was like, what? Oh,
hi.
Oh, you're early. Oopsie, I'm at the grocery store.
In fact, not early. I was exactly on time.
You were, to be exact, 3 minutes early.
Was I really?
You were 3 minutes early.
It'll never happen again.
Yeah, I know. I know. Never. So I was like, oh, wow, what do I do with that? Yeah. So it's putting groceries into the car.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm like 15 minutes away. So
it was also cold outside.
I'm so sorry.
I was going to just get back in my car. But then there was a part of me that was like, because you didn't tell me. Because normally, like, if you think you're not going to be here, you'll, like, send me the door code that changes every freaking time I come over here. And you'll text it to me. So I was, like, going back through my text, like, look to see when the last time you sent me a code was. Because I was like, maybe that one will work. Because I'm just going to break into your house.
Yeah,
But also, I was like,
Randy will come with his gun.
Hasn't texted me that she's not going to be here. So then there was a piece of me that thought you were dead. Like, that something had happened inside and you were, like, dead. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm going to... Because then
I'm
called
find
you
the body.
And you didn't answer me. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, she's dead.
She's dead.
So I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, how do I get in this house? And then I saw there was a light on in your garage. So I, like, peered through the window there, and I was like, oh, there's no car here. I'm like, oh, I guess she's not here. Okay, so she's not dead in the house.
She's out somewhere.
But she might be dead out.
She, against her will in her car.
Yeah, like, she's not here. So then you finally text me back, and I was like, okay, she is
living. God, she's just at the grocery store.
She's just getting
groceries. She's just being so rude.
No, I was, like, worried for your safety for a moment.
Me too. Being at the grocery store with a kid who was like, I want a toy! And I'm like, we're not at the grocery store for a toy. We're at the grocery store to get food because there's impending snow and we need to hurry and get food and do all the things. And Auntie Haley's at our house. Let's go.
Unsupervised in our own.
She may steal something. Come on, let's go. No.
I sat on your couch and I watched TikTok.
Yeah, no. No, I was like, we don't have any issue with that. Auntie Haley's been to our house many a times unsupervised. His biggest concern was that you were playing with his toys.
Oh, and I was not. I did see that kinetic sand, and I thought maybe.
It is fun.
But
it
then
is.
I didn't. There's some on the carpet over here, though.
Oh, there's plenty. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I told him, don't worry, she's not playing with your toys. And he took a beat, and he thought about it, and he said, I bet she's playing with your toys.
Whoa. We're not that close.
And my mind went in two places.
You clearly know which one mine went.
Instantly, the dark one, exactly where yours went.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, close that bedroom drawer.
Well, you're not that close.
Nope, not that close. And then
another... Is anybody that close?
Is anybody... I mean,
is that something you share?
I wouldn't say, even if you said, hey, I don't even have an extra toothbrush, could I borrow a tooth? I wouldn't even say, here's my toothbrush. That's no, gross.
I would give you the spare one that I got from the dentist last week.
Yeah,
that
the brand new one.
Yeah, that I haven't traded out
exactly.
Yet. You could have that
exactly,
one.
Sure. If you said, I'm really cold, or I got something all over my sweater, I would say, here's a sweater from my closet. Wear this. Here are some socks. I wouldn't give you my underwear.
Right.
I just, again.
No.
We are close. And we have learned that we're very similar in personality.
Yes.
Oddly very similar.
Yeah. But I'm not going to wear your underwear.
And you're not going to play with my
toys.
I'm
not going to play with your toys.
Same. So when he said that, I was like, no. But then I also had this image of like, I have an iPad that he has no idea about because it's mine. But I also thought if adults acted like kids.
Right.
And like, I just had this whole image of you going and like touching my iPad or going in. I have an office at home too.
Yeah.
If you came and you touched my laptop or something, and I would go, Haley, that's mine. And we just started acting like little kids. And, and so that helped get the dirty thought out of my head.
That was better. He did tell me when he came in that. His first words to me were not hi. They were, Mom didn't buy me Hot Wheels. Or Mom didn't get me Hot Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, that's tough.
I know.
That's a tough time. Like,
lessons to learn.
Yeah.
I know.
When Mom won't get you Hot Wheels.
Because, have you seen his room?
Yeah.
Filled with tons of
them. I tripped over that little orange excavator, yellow, whatever color that is. And there was a crunch. So I was real scared. I broke it, but I did it. I did an investigation, and I did not, in fact, break it.
I spent a lot of time.
It's fine.
Prior to Christmas, trying to get rid of a lot of stuff.
Mm.
So he was sick right before Christmas, and it was great because I was able to go through like when he's sick, he sleeps a lot.
Yeah.
So I was able to go through a lot of stuff in his playroom and purge some things.
Yeah.
So it was funny because we went to this local place where we donate a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so he was in the car, but he had no idea what was in the trash bags. And he said, are we going to take the trash? And I was like, sure.
Because, like, when have y'all ever taken your trash?
We have
trash
pickup.
Service.
We have trash service. And I was like, yes, we're taking trash. And he was like, okay. And so then he just kind of didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
So we go to the donation center. And I said, oh, actually, no, Mommy's donating some old clothes of hers.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. And so we go there. And the man's like, what you got there, little lady, or something like that. And I was like, I want you to be quiet about this. We're going to do this fast. We're going to do this quick. I want you to hear me out. I've got toys. My son's in the car. These are his toys. No, don't look at him. Look at me.
Look at me. Only me.
Only me. Keep your eyes on me the whole time. Don't look at my son. Don't let him know what's in these bags. There are toys in these bags. Shh. Don't look at him. Look at me. I was like, don't let him know. If he knows, we're going to blow the whole thing. He's going to lose it. I was like, so let's do this fast, all right? And he was like, okay. I was like, nope, don't look at him. Look at me.
Look at me. Only me.
Only me. Don't look at him. And he was like, all right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We had
that's
to do
amazing.
It.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
we purged
awesome.
A lot, and there's...
Yeah.
I feel like for me, 2024 has been...
The year of purge.
I want to declutter my life.
Oh,
I cannot handle it. I can't handle it.
There's a lot happening in my house all the time, and it shouldn't be because I live with one other person who is never home, and a dog, and my cat.
Are they home?
Yeah, well, usually.
And you can't kick them out.
You can't kick them out. So, yeah. Anyway, hope you all had a lovely holiday season.
Well, I mean, that's been a hot minute.
It's been a second. But I hope it was still lovely.
I do, too.
And you're all braving this weather if you're in the, you know,
south. And we want to apologize to you. We had posted about the episode last week, and then we didn't get to upload it until about 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just because Haley ended up having a really bad migraine headache, so she wasn't able to upload it at prior to midnight, and then she worked that day with a really bad migraine, went home early, and so she wasn't able to upload until later that day. Yeah. So,
sorry, our apologies. About that. My brain decided to attack me.
But yes, so just so you know, we still love y'all. Yeah. We didn't mean,
didn't forget about you.
We didn't forget about you. Just Haley was feeling ill.
Yeah, I got home and I took. If you have migraines and you have to take, like, I take sumatriptan. There's some other ones out there, but I take the sumatriptan one. And for some people, it's just like taking an ibuprofen, but it's like a stronger one. For me, it makes me absolutely insane. Like, I get so loopy. Like,
I'm on... It makes me... I sleep.
Yeah, and then exhausted. I knock out.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have had, like... I don't know. I've drank so much. Like, I'm drunk.
Really?
Kind of. Like, I couldn't operate a car if I took one. Like, can't do it. So, that's why we did not get things uploaded on time.
Yeah.
Because I was drunk. Incapacitated.
Haley was drunk again.
I was drunk again. No, it was like being drunk with none of the fun. It was all just the headache and the lay in a dark room and try not to throw up.
I do have to say, there's something weird that happens, and I don't know if this is a phenomenon that happens to you. It happens to me. When you're coming out of a really intense migraine, there's this kind of high that you get when it starts to, it's alleviating the pressure and the pain. And it's, you're sort of in this, like, it's sort of point where you start to kind of feel it wash over your body. You feel better.
Yeah.
Like, it starts to leave your body and you're sort of like laying there. You know you can't make a lot of movement. Yeah. But you also are starting to feel better. It's kind of a weird high.
I usually get the next day, my whole face hurt. Like, my face hurt. My hair hurt. Like, to brush my hair hurt. It was just bad times. Bad times.
I always have the hangover headache.
Yeah.
That always feels like you went out partying, but you didn't. You just had a migraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they all have migraines, let us know and we'll see you next week. Bye.
And we talked about this either last week or a couple weeks ago about migraines and how intense they can be. They're really awful.
Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah,
I've suffered for years and they stink. So.
Yeah, not fun.
All right. Today. We are going to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. Hotlanta.
We're going to talk about the Winecoff Hotel.
Cool.
I had never heard of this.
I haven't either.
It's fascinating.
Great.
Okay. So, December 1946, in the bustling metropolis that is Atlanta, Georgia, the Winecoff Hotel sits in the heart of the city. The jewel of the city. In fact, it's the landscape and one of the tallest buildings at the time. It had 15 floors. It's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Winecoff opened in 1913 and was very fancy. It was very elegant. And a lot of the posh stayed there. Do you think we would have stayed there if, you know, back in the day?
No.
Maybe the Super 8?
We'd have been at the tavern. The Tavern Inn.
Drinking.
We would have drank and then we would have stumbled up the stairs and slept on some straw mattresses.
You started off, we'd have been drinking, and then you sounded like Forrest Gump.
That's what we would have sounded like by the time we got up there.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
We would have been on the mattress.
On the mattress.
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, we would not have been as impossible.
The 1913 version of the Super 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Very true.
The Tavern Inn.
Yeah, we probably had to, like, wash some dishes or something to be able to even stay there.
So I'd be like, listen, we got one room.
We had to share it.
All right, guess we're...
We couldn't share... We had to share a toothbrush then.
Yeah.
It was really sad.
That was a low point in our lives.
We had to share some straw, and that was the last straw.
That was the last straw.
Somebody was going to die that night. Yeah.
It was not like those romance books that you read where it's like the they have to share the one bed at the inn, and then you know something is about to go crazy and happen. No, it wasn't like that. It was cold. My cold toes kept touching Holly's leg.
And that was
the last straw. Then we weren't friends anymore.
I didn't know that something romantic was going to happen in our book. I didn't know we had that kind of friendship. It didn't,
obviously.
Obviously not. Wow. Well, yeah. Honey.
It's a bummer. What is it, though? We've established we're not good enough friends to share each other's toys, so I don't think we can be good enough. Like, there's not a romantic inkling here.
No.
Sorry if anybody was shipping that. It's,
It's not
happening. If you are,
that's so sweet.
We're flattered, but no.
Oh, you know, I never thought of that. That is really sweet.
That is sweet.
No, I've always seen myself as the older sister.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
All right, tell me more about
this. Don't share my toys.
Don't share her toys.
Or my straw mattress in 1913.
Okay, that's where I'm at.
So it also boasted that it was fireproof.
It's a heavy claim.
So, but here's the thing. Think about like the Titanic that boasted that it was unsinkable. Yeah. It is probably not a good idea to boast about certain things.
I mean, they may have been on straw mattresses in the posh hotel. This is 1913.
I mean, they had real mattresses.
In 1913?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
They did. They had real mattresses in 1913. They weren't just made of straw.
Okay.
In nice hotels, yes.
Okay.
Seriously.
I believe you.
That's why you're looking it up? Mm-hmm. Because you believe me? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. When you find it, just verify.
I will.
Mm-hmm. See you guys shipping us out there? Look at the bickering that we do. So, the exterior building was made with very solid materials, brick, mortar, all the good things, you know.
Yeah, brick and mortar.
Fireproof, yep. Don't you know? Did you find pictures of it?
I didn't, but I believe you.
Okay, we'll go back to it.
Okay.
The Winecoff was very busy due to the Christmas holiday approaching. Great deal of guests were visiting the hotel and were in town to shop and see the new Disney movie called The Song of the South, which was playing at the cinema house across the street.
Mm.
There were 304 guests checked into the hotel that night, including a group of students on a State of Georgia YMCA-sponsored trip for a legislative program.
That was a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean... Get it, legislative students.
Through the YMCA, of Georgia program?
Yeah, all that.
They were doing all the things.
Wow.
I know. Go for it.
Yeah.
Rooms 1011 and 1012 acted as an apartment for the hotel's namesake and builder, William Winecoff, and his wife, Grace. So they actually lived in the hotel and had for many, many years.
Cool.
So if that's kind of neat... as the chaos of the evening settled down and slumber overtook the city, a peaceful silence echoed through the halls of the hotel. That is, until around 3:15 a.m.
The witching hour.
That's right. Always around that time. That's usually when Haley and I would go upstairs from the bar.
Yeah. We've shut it down, heading up to our straw mattress. We're having to sleep toe to head because, you know.
It's what you do.
It's what you do.
You're taller than me.
Yeah.
So.
But then we had to stop doing that because then my cold toes were touching Holly's cheek.
Well, actually more my head, like the top of my head.
Yeah. That was bad.
It was. Yeah.
I'm like a thrasher when I sleep. This would have been bad.
It would not have ended well for you.
No. I like flail.
Notice my wording. It would not have ended well for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I might have knocked you unconscious.
No, in the end, would have killed you.
Oh, okay.
while we think that, like, you would have hurt me, you probably would have, but in the end...
You would have been victorious.
See.
Mm. Okay. Alrighty then. Okay, so what happened here?
We didn't
here?
See that coming in the story,
did
not.
We?
Ooh, that's a good novel.
Yeah.
I like that. I'd ship that.
Same.
Okay. So, 3:15 a.m., a bellboy responds to a call from a hotel guest on the fifth floor. The guest claimed to be trapped and in need of assistance.
Oh, trapped where?
I don't know.
Trapped that- how?
I'm trapped and I need assistance.
But yet you have a phone?
Yeah.
You can reach the phone?
Yeah, it seemed very odd. What do you mean trapped?
Okay.
So the first thought is, it's 1946. No good could come of this.
Right.
I'm trapped and I need assistance.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Exactly.
Stuck I'm trapped and I can't get out.
Stuck to the floor like a peanut butter cup. The bellboy noticed a fire emanating from a lower level corridor thought to be the third floor where a mattress and chair had temporarily been placed.
Yeah.
So, to give you a picture, two floors below the third floor corridor or the hallway, there's a mattress and a chair just hanging out there.
Okay.
So, like, maybe it was just taken out of a room to give it more space. I don't really know why it was there.
Or it was, like, they'd taken... It's late at night. Maybe the, like, night crew is... taking stuff out and yeah. disposing of things.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who needs this mattress? So clearly, Haley, not made of straw.
Yeah. And this
is also 1946.
Oh, yeah, 46. Yeah, we've got real mattresses now. Yeah.
So maybe it's one of these things like, you know, we need more space, actual floor space in the room, so we're just going to take this out. Well, who knows? So anyway, it had been taken out and it was placed close to the stairwell near the fourth floor.
Okay.
So it's believed that someone dropped a cigarette down the stairwell.
What an asshole.
Exactly. Like, what are you doing?
Stop it.
So rude. A cigarette down the stairwell and hit the mattress or something close to it and ignited it, starting the blaze.
Mm-hmm.
One telephone call was made to the fire department around 3:42 a.m., some 27 minutes after the fire was initially discovered.
Wow!
So, plenty of time to do some damage.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But I guess we think of things in terms of, like, I'll just pick my cell phone up out of my pocket and give a call. So, the bellboy would actually have to... run or take the elevator or the stairs back down and go tell someone at the front desk, hey, there's a fire, we need to call somebody to be able to call. And then, of course, he could have called from a room.
Right, but also, like, I'm sorry, I don't feel like, you know, you see a fire, it's an emergency, you're running.
And yelling fire.
Yelling fire, or you're running and getting to, like, that takes what, from the third floor, like... 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Tops?
Exactly. Why did it take so long to call the fire department?
That doesn't add up.
My guess would be he probably went down there and the manager probably maybe had doubts. Like, why? Well,
I don't know. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, there's a fire, call 911, I'm not asking questions.
Yeah, but thinking about... you know, this time, it probably was like, oh, I don't know, son, let me go look for myself. You know what I'm saying? So he probably went to check it out and then determined, oh yeah, it is a fire, maybe I should call somebody. I don't know. So they basically wasted a lot of time.
Yeah.
So the call was made by the night manager, but he failed to sound the fire alarm. So back then, someone had to manually go to the front desk and sound the alarm.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of the guests in the hotel were alerted to the fire, not because of the alarm, but by hearing other guests screaming in the accompanying rooms. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be horrifying? Like, what a way to wake up. You're hearing people screaming.
And you're like, oh my God, what is happening?
Exactly. So the floors were on fire. Above where the fire was initially trapped, so it started to spread really, really quickly.
Yeah.
After that phone call to the fire department, the first crew arrived on the scene within 30 seconds.
Dang.
Because the fire department was just, like, down the street.
Nice.
Yes. Swift. So that was handy.
Yep, moving quick.
That's nice. But by that point, hotel guests had begun jumping from the windows.
Yeah.
At the time, the Winecoff Hotel was the tallest building, as I had mentioned, in Atlanta. So the fire department's ladder, even with its longest extension, couldn't reach the top floors. They did, however, get as many guests out in this manner as they could. Firefighters ended up attaching ladders horizontally from buildings that sat across from the Winecoff.
Oh, okay.
Creating almost like a catwalk.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
That is scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they didn't actually stand up and walk it. They probably...
Well, I mean, if it's the tallest building, you're going at kind of an angle to get to the roof. And I'm sure there was roof access, so that way they could go down. Maybe.
I don't know. Oof.
Yeah.
Scary. So, several desperate guests tied bed sheets to their bodies and tried to descend the side of the building, while others misjudged the distance between the hotel and the mortgage building 10 feet away. In a last attempt at saving their own lives, they plummeted to the alley below. So I can see how this would happen, because you can easily look at something and think, that doesn't look too far.
Like, I could make that.
I could make that. I could feasibly jump and make that. But if you don't get a good running start, if you don't have enough to get you across, if you, you know, miscalculate it,
right,
you're not going to make it. And most people didn't.
Right.
And most people died in the process.
Yeah.
So that was happening quite a bit. Firefighters were being hurt by people who were falling. Yeah. The first set of firefighters on the scene quickly realized that they were way in over their heads.
Yeah.
They needed backup. So they sounded the alarm, and the Atlanta Fire Department throughout the city sent 385 firefighters, which included 22 engine companies, 11 trucks with ladders. Four of those trucks had aerial ladders or extenders that could be used as for excavations and higher level floors. Mm. Got to the point by 4 a.m. that a call went out for all available units within a certain mile radius to come and help with the blaze. Additional aid came, bringing with it close to 50 pieces of extra equipment. So,
big fire.
Huge fire.
Yeah.
Like, everybody came.
Yeah.
Firefighters were injured, like I mentioned, when guests started jumping from the building, and it took a long time to make rescue attempts while trying to put out the fire. Can you imagine?
No.
We're trying to put out a fire, we're trying to save lives, people are jumping.
We're trying to dodge falling bodies, like...
It's chaos.
What do you do?
It's absolute chaos. Yes. When all was said and done, 119 people lost their lives, making this the most deadly hotel fire in American history.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And I'd never heard this before.
I haven't either.
There were 65 people who were injured and 120 who were uninjured.
Dang.
Yeah. The hotel's founder and namesake, William Winecoff, was found by a firefighter deceased in one of the corridors.
Aww.
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
It is sad. But he was on one of those higher level floors. Yeah. His wife, Grace, had fallen to her death when she jumped from a window onto Peach Street. Peach Street was the street right in front of the hotel.
Oh.
So, yeah. Remember the group of YNCAA students I mentioned?
I do.
There were 40 of them altogether. 30 of them died in the fire.
Oh, my God.
Yes, 30. 32 of the individuals who died, jumped, or fell after... they created those makeshift ropes from the bed sheets. Jumping from their windows really gives you that, like, 9/11
vibe. Yeah, that was vibe. My kind of thought.
That's, like, the first thing I think about. Yeah. So there's a photograph of a young woman jumping from the hotel during the fire. So the story goes that a Georgia Tech grad student named Arnold Hardy was coming home from a dance when he heard all these sirens. He was a bit of a nosy rosy.
Mm.
He was like one of those guys.
What's going on?
He was like, oh, there's a siren. Wonder what that is. Better check it out.
Mm.
Yeah. So he called the fire department to inquire about all the sirens and found out that there was a fire.
Typically, that's what's going on. When there's... A lot of fire trucks.
You know what? I think I'm going to call the fire department and see what's up. Oh, there's a fire, you say?
What?
I can't believe it. So they told him where the fire was.
Why?
Exactly. And I'm like, dude, sounds like a creep. Like, why would you do that?
Like, why are you calling them? And also, why are you giving out this information?
Exactly.
Feels like you shouldn't do
and
that.
Also, it sounds like he's not going to help.
Right. Like, he's not, like, calling to offer his assistance.
Exactly. He's not saying, but maybe he lied. Maybe he said, hey, I'm a physician and I want to help. You know, like, who knows? I don't know what he said. So he marches himself down to the wine cough. He has his camera with him and he begins snapping photographs of the raging inferno and the chaos that was ensuing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. I understand that someone has to document and get the story and the record, you know, out, whatever, record history that's happening in front of them. I get it. I do. And I appreciate that there's someone there to document it, and that he was the one who was there to do it. He sought it out, whatever. I can also say, if I was a firefighter trying to rescue hundreds of people from a burning building and someone was just there snapping pictures, I would be pissed.
Well, I think that's, like, today, you know? Anytime there's, like, something major going on, like, you see all these people filming.
Yeah.
Or, like, they have their phones out and they're videoing it or taking pictures or filming or whatever. And, like, that's never my initial thought.
No, me neither.
Like, when I'm in an emergency situation, like, my initial thought is to help and to get there and mm-hmm. to do what, like, just whatever needs to be done. Like, it's not to grab my phone and, you know, film it.
No.
And I don't know, like, where that mindset comes from.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, I don't get it.
I don't know.
Right.
And so I don't know. I don't know if it's a recording a piece of history. I don't know if it's I want to be famous.
Right. And like, I get the, like, I'm thinking of the one video that went around of the guy who fell in the subway, like down in the train tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he fell and there was a lot of people there helping him get up, but there were a lot of people there, like, standing there filming it.
Right.
And I'm like, why would you film something like that?
Yeah.
That's wild to me. And it's, like, different when it's press in, like, war zones. Like, that's different to me.
Yeah.
That's there to document
mm-hmm.
history. Not, you know, screaming at a barista.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. It's so weird to me.
Well, it's true. Why you get off your straw mattress and lend a hand. Haley Wood.
Get off that straw mattress.
Get off that straw mattress.
Yeah. Or, like, if I know I'm not of any help in the situation, like, the best thing you can do is just get out of the way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yank your phone out and feel like that's just kind of gross.
And that's in this scenario. That's what I feel like. That, you know, it should be like, move out of the way, buddy. We got lives to save. Like, either, like, move or put on a suit.
Right.
You know, I mean,
like, start helping or get out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he's, you know, we got folks who are begging for their lives, essentially. People who are on these higher level floors who are making choices, right? So the smoke is filling up the rooms that they're in, and they're making a choice of, do I let the smoke take me out, or do I make a choice to jump?
And hope for the best.
And hope for the best. And you look down below, and here's this guy taking your picture.
Mm.
You're making a choice of, how am I going to die in this moment? And you're petrified and you're going through all these feelings. This guy's snapping your picture. Just taking pictures. I don't know. And maybe you're not feeling any kind of way.
Right.
Like, maybe that's not going through your head. But I don't know. I would think that there would be some kind of, like, feeling of helplessness.
Right, yeah.
I would feel helpless as someone who is there watching this.
Yeah.
On 9/11.
Yeah.
As a 17-year-old girl watching people jump from buildings hundreds of miles from me.
Yeah.
It was unimaginable. I felt horrific watching it because I knew I... What could I do? Nothing. Yeah. So that a guy would be taking pictures? I don't know. Okay. I'm going to get off my soapbox, but yeah. I'm a history buff, so I appreciate that it was documented, that there is pictorial evidence that it occurred, that we have it, but...
But the way we got it is just kind of odd.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you rectify that?
Exactly. Some mixed feelings here. So with the last flashbulb, so you got to remember we're talking old school cameras here.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a photo of a young woman by the name of Daisy Bell McCumber, who was jumping out of the 11th story window. So a lot of folks who jumped didn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy did.
Wow.
She had a lot of broken bones and a lot of severe injuries, but she made it. She was known as the Jumping Lady and lived to be 86 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it.
Yep. Hardy stated, quote, "As she passed the third floor, I fired using my last flashbulb," end quote. Hardy was paid $300 by the Associated Press for the photograph so that they could use it in their article entitled, quote, "Death from Blazing Hotel." The photo went on to win the 1947 Pulitzer Prize for... I can't talk.
Pulitzer Prize?
Pulitzer Prize for photography. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again...
Mixed feelings, man.
Right?
Mixed
yeah.
Mixed feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, yes, glad that it's documented.
Yeah.
Kind of, maybe. But, like, and I feel that way about 9/11, too. Like, yes, it was well, it's well documented, and, like, I think that means something to a lot of people to look at those photos and remember. But at the same time, like, I can't imagine being a family member and, like, having them air, you know, the planes crashing into the building and all of that, and like realizing, oh, I'm watching my child's or my parent or my loved one's
or my wife
death.
Yeah.
And people over and over have and over. Been paid good money from my spouse's or loved one's death.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That just kind of like, I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know where I sit with that.
There's random side note. There is a YouTube video and it is excellent. I watched it recently and I forget what it's called. The lady something. That's not helpful. Mm-hmm. But it was a lady during 9/11 who actually, she lived a long time after the initial the plane had hit the building, and she was actually standing at one of the windows that had been busted out, and she is like holding on for dear life. And she held on the entire time, and you can see her like waving and like trying to wave to someone. And they figured out who the lady was. And they just keep like, you can zoom in and like see her from different things that people had shot, different video. And she hung on until that the building went down.
Oh, wow.
But essentially, she was alive this entire time. And there had always been a question of, because of where it hit on her floor, if she had died just immediately.
Right.
And she hadn't. She had actually been one of the few people who had actually hung out the window and survived that whole time. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, side note, but it's on YouTube. It's fascinating. Mm. Anyway, so he won the Pulitzer Prize for photography for this photograph, and I'm debating. I don't know if I should use it as my, I don't know. I have mixed feelings.
Yeah.
You can find it. You can Google it. The young lady, her dress had flown up, obviously. Mm. So, you know, you can see her underwear. I think I'm not going to.
Maybe just like a picture of the hotel.
I think I'm going to do a picture of the hotel. Yeah. So the stairs in the interior. So let's talk about the actual fire in the building. The stairs in the interior of the building, the way they were laid out, each floor was kind of staggered. So they had landings, but they weren't really separated by doors. So it was like, you know, okay, there was a landing that represented the next level.
Mm.
But there were no doors to separate each level. It was just kind of open.
Yeah.
So that means that fire could just easily spread.
Why we now have fire doors.
That is correct. So there was nothing really keeping the gas and fire out.
Right.
So fire moved really rapidly through this hallway up the stairs. There was nothing stopping it.
Mm.
The fire actually didn't hit the laundry room or the elevator shafts, which was interesting. So the elevator actually was functional. But isn't that the first thing they tell you in a fire?
Yeah, like, don't use
the elevator, only use the stairs. So a lot of people weren't using the elevator. So hotel guests opened the transoms, and I had to look up what the hell are transoms.
Right, yeah, what is that?
So they are small rectangular or semicircle windows that are above doors, especially in older buildings, and they can be opened inward.
Hmm.
They used to be used as like additional windows. Not only are they decorative, but they can also be used for additional airflow. They were used back in the day before there was air conditioning, obviously, to, you know, in the summertime, give a little bit more air. So this served as a flu-like effect. Causing a bit of a problem because the fire and the gases, it basically flamed the fire.
Yeah, it sucks it in,
flames the fire, and caused it, because if you know anything about a flue in a chimney, it makes it rise up.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what was happening. So all the gases was making it rise upward and go to the higher floors. So everybody was like, hurry, we've got to open the windows. We need fresh air. So they were opening all of these transoms and all of the windows, and it was pushing all of the fire and gas upward to these higher floors. So people who were on these higher floors were trapped.
Yeah.
They could not get out. And another piece of the building, they didn't have fire escapes. So there was no way to get out. So you got to think, the stairwells are infernos. Hmm. They cannot get out through the stairwells. They're terrified to use the elevator, so they can't use the central elevator. And there's no fire escapes on the outside of the building.
God, sounds like my building I lived in New York.
Yeah. They have no way to escape.
My building was built in the 1800s.
Oh my gosh.
That I lived in, and we had no fire escapes. We did not have sprinklers. We had, didn't have, like, fire alarms, but we had a hose.
Oh my gosh.
We had fire hoses that ran the length of the hallway.
How did that pass any code?
I don't know, but I guess it did. I guess that's why the hoses were there. But yeah, we had fire hoses. We didn't have sprinklers.
It's terrifying.
We had fire hoses.
Was there ever...
We may have had sprinklers. We didn't have fire escapes. So there was no way out. Like, thankfully I lived on the second floor, so I could do kind of a hang and drop if I absolutely had to.
Yeah.
And I would live.
Yeah.
But the people that were on the 12th floor, I don't know how y'all are getting out.
Was it a walk up too?
No, not an elevator.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Do you have a doorman?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Swanky.
No. You know, student housing. Yep.
Was his name Randy, too?
No. I think his name was Omar.
Oh. Bummer.
He was from India.
Nice.
He's a cool dude.
Nice.
He would turn off my coffee pot for me sometimes.
Thank God.
I'd call him and be like, listen, I left it on. He's like, I will turn it off if I can have a cup of coffee. I'm like, dude, if it's not burnt to the bottom of it, take it. Go for it.
You are so lucky. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was great.
It sounds like it. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was not the only issue. The decor was a problem because...
Very flammable.
Yeah, they decorated some of their wall coverings were made out of burlap. Right. Not my first choice. Like, when I think burlap, I think potato sack.
Mm-hmm.
How trendy.
Right. Yeah, I'm not thinking. Yeah, no. Remember that was, like, a big, like, southern trend for a while? Like, was. Burlap and lace.
Sexy.
Ew. I hated it. I'm so sorry if that was, like, your wedding, like, decor or whatever. Like, I know. I have friends that was their wedding decor. And I'm like... I mean, and then it was pretty. I just would never.
It's not my thing.
No.
It's not my thing. Yeah.
No.
No, it's not my deal. But a lot of people like that kind of stuff.
I guess so, because it sells well.
It does. I don't really like burlap.
Me either.
Like I said, to me it says potato sack.
Yeah.
That's Agreed. What it feels like.
Agreed.
It's a little country for me. But apparently... They were doing some wall coverings. They said, you know what? Okay. We got extra tater sacks.
We're just going to slap them up on the walls.
You know what? I'm gonna just rewind back a little. Maybe we would have fit in this hotel.
Maybe. If they've got tater sacks on the walls. Golly, our straw mattress might have done well there.
Just saying.
We might have done okay.
We would have gone up to the, after we had a couple drinks. We had a pass in burlap sacks on the wall.
I gotta Google what that is.
Yeah, that's what it said. It said burlap.
Burlap
wall coverings.
Burlap.
Yes.
Burlap.
So that just cracks me up. When guests would open the windows, the drafts obviously would intensify the flames, and then it goes straight to the burlap wall coverings, catches them on fire. So just everything in the guest rooms were just completely in flames.
I mean, it does indeed look like you just put some tater sacks up
on
the wall.
Let me see what that looks like. Some tater sacks.
Here's a good one. Hang on. Let me go back to the top here.
It does sound like somewhere where we... Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
It is bad. I don't...
Sorry if you have tater sacks on your walls at home, folks. Hey, maybe if you do and it looks nice, send us a photo of your burlap wall coverings.
In my mind, it would have something written on it like potato or Idaho. Idaho spuds.
No, this is just like... Yeah, like that one. Like that one's bad.
Yeah, it's bad because it has all those lines in it.
Yeah. It's a tater sack.
It's a tater sack.
I don't like it.
Listen, if it got real desperate, we could wear them as dresses.
We could.
Cover your tatas with the tater sack.
You could.
Cover your taters with the tater sack.
You ever done a sack race in a tater sack?
I have. That's fun. That's really fun. We could have tater sack races.
I like it.
That'd be fun.
How we'd break something.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore.
Anymore? Have we done it together?
Not together. But we've both done them in our childhood.
In our childhood, yeah. But I don't know now. Yeah.
Now would be tough.
Yeah.
Be
tough. We could do it together, though. That'd be fun. That would be a very bonding...
Could we share a hospital room to cut down on expense?
I don't know if we should spend that much time together. I think we've both established we're people that need our space.
Mm, yeah. But if we need to save money, maybe. We'll think about
it. I think we could tell each other, like, you know what? I'm going to put my ears in. So yeah. I think we could just...
Yeah. Yeah. We could be fine.
I think we could.
Just head to toe. My broken leg up by your head. Your broken leg up by my head.
We would still be on the straw?
Yeah. We can't afford those fancy mattresses that they have in the hospital.
We can't afford the hospital?
This is true. We're outside the hospital.
We'll just wave.
Yeah, we're in the...
We're going to have to wrap our own...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are we kidding?
Yeah. We can't go to the hospital.
We can't go to the hospital. We can't afford a hospital.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's
for what they charge. Healthcare? Absolutely not.
No. We're going to have to go to Canada.
Or just do it ourselves.
We'll do it ourselves.
That's fine. I got a garage we can use.
Same.
Okay. Yours is enclosed. Mine is not.
We'll do it in my garage.
I got a solid shed.
We'll do it in my garage.
Okay.
Wow. So many plans for the things that may happen to us. That sounds scary.
Golly.
Anyway, after investigating the fire, it was determined that more safety precautions, you don't say.
I would say so. Fire doors, no tater sacks on the walls. Fire escapes, maybe, perhaps. Yep.
Needed to be put in place so a tragedy like this didn't occur again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The National Fire Protection Association began looking into items used to build infrastructures and decorate them that may help in keeping fire away, you don't say.
Yeah, that's probably a bad plan.
So they were reevaluating those windows. Remember those windows we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
They decided that no more.
Those are bad.
Those could be used in the future as decorative pieces, but they could not open.
Right.
So you could use those as like plexiglass, like not functional windows. So they could never be opened, but they could be used as like decorative pieces.
Okay.
So transoms, no longer operable windows, period. But they could be used as design choices. So a new fire code was also established for buildings erected prior to 1946. So this meant that a lot of businesses had to spend quite a bit of money to get their establishments up to code. Which was a good thing, though, because, you know, you want to make sure that if a fire happens, people don't die, and, you know, you could lose your entire business.
You know, my apartment building did not have fire doors. We just had open stairwells, now that I'm thinking about it.
Do you need me to write a letter to somebody?
I mean, it was all stone.
I don't know. I'll write a letter. I will.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember there being... At least I didn't. I live on the second floor. So I had a straight staircase up. There's no fire door from the lobby. But I can't remember about upper floors. Maybe there was.
Maybe.
No, there wasn't. I don't think so.
I wonder, too, if individuals were... Back then, too, it was very much about decor.
Mm-hmm.
And how things looked.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Oh, no, that doesn't go with the vibe. It doesn't go with our decor. It doesn't go with, you know, if we put a door there, you know.
Hmm.
They're not thinking about functionality. They're not thinking about potential fire hazards. They're thinking, but how does it look?
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking in the lady sense.
People do that now, though.
Oh, of course they do. Of course they do. And that's what causes fires.
Mm.
So, the Winecoff ended up going through a huge renovation, and then it finally reopened. It still stands today. It is still in business, and it is known as the Ellis Hotel.
Cute.
You can still stay there. Guests of the hotel have cited tremendous paranormal activity.
There's ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
The building's elevators have been known to act strangely and operate on their own accord.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. During the renovations to turn it into the Ellis Hotel, workers reported finding their tools moved or missing, as well as hearing footsteps and voices coming from empty rooms.
Hmm.
Guests having reported hearing screams and sounds of running within empty corridors, while some have awakened in the middle of the night, smelling smoke within their rooms and calling down to the front desk, so it had to be checked out. But there was no smoke.
I don't understand. If I wake up and I'm smelling smoke,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call down to the front desk and be like, hey, I'm getting out of there.
Yeah.
I'm going to evacuate.
Yeah.
On my way down, I'll tell the front desk, hey, I smell smoke upstairs. I'm going to chill down here, you know, where I can get out the door relatively quickly in case, indeed, it is a fire.
I don't think... I feel like Haley and I would be on the same page. We would get our shit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're not leaving without our shit. And we would be able to collect it very quickly.
Yes.
We would get off our straw mat...
Yep.
With our gimpy legs and whatever we had.
We're hobbling down those stairs.
We would have our suitcases hobbling down those stairs. We would be out of that building in a flash.
Yeah.
But we would tell them very quickly, we smelled smoke. We don't know if it's the phantom ghost or what. But,
or if it's fire. But we took no chances.
Peace.
See you later.
And we would be out of there.
Yeah.
In our Uber.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. For reals. Yeah. So, but apparently they just call down to the front desk because they don't know us.
Mm.
Staff members have also reported that calls come to the hotel, just like mysterious calls, and then like there'll be dead silence on the other end, and they know it's coming from rooms, and it'll just be like breathing, and but it's like nobody's in that room.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. That's creepy. So there's switchboards, so like the hotel switchboards, they'll get they'll get calls from unoccupied rooms.
I don't like that.
Nope.
That one's kind of creepy.
Just a ghost just saying
hi.
Hey, I'm here. The smoke alarm will mysteriously go off around 3 o'clock in the morning, around the same time that fire started. People outside the hotel have also claimed to see faces in the window.
I mean, there are people that are staying there, so.
Well.
So, like, I mean, it's not really a big shocker. Like, ooh, I passed a hotel. I saw somebody in the window. Ooh. Spooky.
Some look more phantom-like.
I mean, you put me in front of a window.
I mean, I am pretty
phantom-like.
I am pretty pale.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean.
They appear to be screaming in pain. They look ghostly, and then they disappear.
Maybe they're having a good time. Maybe they're screaming in joy.
Or pleasure.
Or pleasure.
We don't know what's happening.
With their toys.
Their own respective toys, yeah, not ones they let their friends play with.
Not the hotel ones.
While they were at the grocery store.
They didn't check them out. They brought their own.
Stand at my bedside table. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yes. And then, they see people who are there, people who disappear, spirits throughout the hotel. So, anyway. It's just a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that is the story of the Winecoff, aka the Ellis Hotel. Like I said, still in operation. One of the most deadly hotel fires in America. I'd never heard this story before. Pretty cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I like it too. And I'm terrified of the old version of us.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Even in our past life, we were poor.
Yeah. Accepted it.
I hope future us
hope future us is doing better than
I hope
current
so.
Us and past us.
I know. Maybe future us is really wealthy.
Maybe.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or like next life, we're just like crushing it.
Or in like 10 years.
That'd be great.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Not what we're currently doing.
Maybe we'll have some kind of business.
Maybe.
That'd be cool together.
Yeah.
We could do a business.
Yeah. I was nodding aggressively and I realized that they couldn't hear that.
Hey, you were.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, we could. And I was like, okay, what is it? I'm down. Anyway, if you have ideas for what that could be, that would be super helpful. You can let us know that by emailing us at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. You can find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia and Patreon, patreon.com/mountainmysteries. Haley, do you have a special shout out for us today?
Maybe.
Okay.
Sorry, it logged me out.
I hate
and
when
our
that happens.
Freaking email is so long.
It is very long.
Listen, all the shorter versions of it were taken, so I had to.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Everybody just wants to be us.
Hang on.
Do 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 do.
We're gonna find something, maybe. There. How about we say, Taylor's, South Carolina.
Woohoo! Thank you so much for listening, Taylor, South Carolina. Well, we look forward to seeing you all next week. We hope you have a great one. Stay warm.
Yeah, do that.
And safe.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.